Welcome to the Words of Life program. There is a passage of Scripture found in both the Old and New Testaments that includes, in part, the following words, "Love the Lord your God." Brother David Johnson will base his sermon on this passage. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Words of Life is sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who pray for and contribute to this gospel effort. We are thankful that you are listening today. First, we present songs of praise.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, we love you because you first loved us and blessed us with Jesus. Help us to share this great gospel message. Bless our listeners with the right convictions, health, and peace. Bless all local and world leaders. Give them godly understanding that is needed for people to know you. And when Jesus comes to call us unto himself, help us to be in a state of readiness. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now teach us to love the Lord your God.
It's wonderful to be together again as we look into the Word of God, as we study together, and as we share these truths with others, and of course, incorporate these principles in our own lives. The title for the lesson is, Love the Lord Your God. And our text is taken from the Old Testament, our main text, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Please listen to the Word of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. This is the Word of God. May He add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. Jack Eckerd in the United States was owner of the Eckerd chain of drugstores, who eventually sold partially to and was absorbed by the CVS Pharmacy Corporation in the year of our Lord 2004. Mr. Eckerd teamed up with Chuck Colson, founder of Prison Fellowship Ministry, which was advocating restitution to victims of crime, a proposal that both were passionate about. As they went from place to place advocating reform in the criminal justice statutes, on Eckerd's business jet, Eckerd would introduce Chuck Colson to the crowds. Eckerd would state, quote, "This is Chuck Colson, my friend. He's born again. I'm not. I wish I were," end quote. Colson would speak of his concerns about the criminal justice system. Chuck Colson, you should understand, was a lawyer, and they would move to another location. When they returned to the plane for their next appointment, Colson would spend the time witnessing to Mr. Eckerd about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they would land, and Eckerd would give the same introduction of Chuck Colson, and the whole process was repeated over and over again. When Colson left, he gave Mr. Eckerd several books by Christian authors, including C.S. Lewis's book entitled Mere Christianity, a very fine book regarding what Christianity is all about, basically. They continued to correspond about a year, and Eckerd kept reading the Bible and Christian books written by Chuck Colson that he sent to him. Eventually, some of the things that Chuck Colson had written in his book entitled Loving God broke through, and Jack Eckerd decided that, in fact, Jesus had risen from the dead, that he was alive, that he is Savior and Lord, and so he received Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. Shortly after his conversion, Mr. Eckerd, Brother Eckerd, was walking through one of his drugstores and noticed copies of Playboy and Penthouse magazines for sale in his store. He had seen them before, but they had never bothered him. Now, this pornography did bother him as a Christian, as a born-again baptized Christian, a believer. When he returned to his office, he called in the chief operating officer of his drugstores, all of his drugstores at the time, which were over 2,800 stores in 22 states, and said, "Take those magazines out of my stores." The chief operating officer responded, "You can't mean that, Mr. Eckerd. We make $3 million a year on those magazines. Eckerd, stuck by his decision. Take them out of my stores. When Chuck Colson heard about this, he called Eckerd and he asked, "Did you do that because of your commitment to Christ?" Eckerd answered, "Why else would I give away $3 million? The Lord wouldn't let me off the hook. And there's much more to this story." Then Eckerd wrote the heads of other drugstore chains and challenged them to do likewise. At first, they all ignored him. Then, as Eckerd's stores began to see significant sales, that is, sales increases, from people who appreciated Eckerd's moral stand regarding pornography in his stores, they also began, these other drugstore chains, and their leadership, of course, also began to follow suit and take these objectionable magazines out of their stores. Eventually, 11,000 retail outlets across America removed the objectionable magazines from their store shelves. And it all started when one Christian, who could not be comfortable with professing a love for God while ignoring moral principles from the Word of God. To use his own words, his love for God wouldn't, quote, "let me off the hook," end quote. So we should ask ourselves, how really is our love for God supremely, exclusively, and earnestly regarding our daily living? And that means all aspects of our lives. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, it is known as the Shema, S-H-E-M-A, anglicized in English. It's known as the Shema, which in Hebrew means hear, H-E-A-R. To hear carried the sense of obey. A hearing of the Word of God that leads to obedience in all aspects of life was and is commanded of all of God's people, whether Old Testament or New Testament saints, all of God's people. This became the Jewish confession of faith, recited twice daily by the devout, pious Jews, even today. Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This verse manifestly has as its intent, with these words, to give a clear statement of the truth of monotheism, that is, that there is only one true God. Mono, one God. Mono is one, theism is God, refers to God. The original Hebrew could be translated as, "The Lord our God, the Lord alone." The word used for one in this passage does not mean singleness, but instead actually means unity. Thus, while this verse is a concise statement of monotheism, one God, it does not exclude the concept of the Trinity. We believe in the New Testament, as it teaches for Christians, that we have one God, but he is manifested or revealed in Scripture as three persons in one, the mystery of the Trinity, of the Godhead. And yet we believe it, even though we cannot fully comprehend the Trinity, the Godhead. One God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Israel's recognition that God is unique in the universe was to bring them and Christians today to love God genuinely with all of their faculties. This statement Jesus would use later to summarize the whole duty of man and the essence of all the Scriptures. Consider Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. Just as Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 in the New Testament. So, reinforced and repeated by Christ, to which he added, quote, "This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself," end quote. Here, Jesus repeated the concept that is also found in the Old Testament, to love your neighbor as yourself, in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Jesus underscored the truth of these two commandments' unique position with his words, "All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments," Matthew chapter 22 and verse 40. Meaning, to keep these two pivotal commandments is to keep the whole Old Testament Word of God. These same two categories of love, first of God, second of fellow mankind, also take in the first four toward God and the last six toward mankind of the Ten Commandments respectfully. Therefore, the heart and spirit of the entire biblical religion or godliness are to obey these two commandments of love, and so conform one's beliefs and behaviors accordingly to these two commandments. Jack Eckerd understood this, not just intellectually, but put it into his daily life practically, as we as Christians today should all do likewise. Jesus would also insist, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me." John chapter 14 and verse 21. Therefore, a lack of consistent obedience to Christ's commands surely must be confessed and repented of. Lack of repentance, of disobedience, of sin, could mean that that person never really converted to Christ to begin with, and doesn't really love God regardless of what he or she professes. And this should not be. It is futile for parents, for example, to convince their children to believe and practice these truths of Scripture if both parents are not living them out themselves consistently before the eyes and ears of their children. Our words and our lives must match. Love for God, love for others, in action, with worship and service, should saturate all of our relationships. Children and grandchildren listen and watch and usually imitate parents. There needs to be consistency in Christ Jesus. Consider Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 6 through 7. "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Impress what exactly? All of the ways that we can show, that we can evidence our love of God and of all others. No one can outsource God's teachings. Moses didn't tell his listeners only to take their children to the tabernacle, so to speak. He tells them to teach their children in the home. This is where children, grandchildren, really learn to stand alone against the pressures of the world. At home, any person who only relegates Christianity to Sunday, to one day of the week, does not stand strong Monday through Saturday. Christianity isn't just a Sunday school lesson. It's a lifestyle. It's a daily, yes, struggle, but a worthwhile struggle for Christ today with the help of the indwelling Holy Spirit. It also includes a morning around the table and an evening training for those in the family about especially loving God and loving others, along with all of the other important principles of Scripture, those that are commanded of us. That's the faith, living the faith, to love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself, teaching and living consistently for ourselves, for our families, and as we reach out to the community, for Christ's sake, in Christ's name, and for His kingdom.
Brother Johnson has shared with us a very important lesson about loving our God, and we know that He loves us. We pray that you are a Christian, living in forgiveness and faithfully following the teachings of our Lord. You may have a free CD of this and next week's broadcast by simply asking for program 2331. That's 2331. Our CDs are free, without any obligation from you. If you have a spiritual question, please contact us. And we thank you for listening to this Words of Life program. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.